people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and talking down to me. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country, man. You're walking on the fighting side of me. Just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. And they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm if you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you run down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and falling down the key. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. And you run down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me.
Yes, when you run down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. And that's the name of this program here on WhiteRightResistanceRadio.com. Well, more news and views for our people, and of course those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia, New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Well, this is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. I've got lots of interesting news tonight, and as usual, we sometimes have to wonder where to begin. But I'd like to thank Steve Bergen for sending this my way. Is there anything more evil than LGBTQ pride? In fact, yeah, at least here in Ontario, this is Gay Pride Month. Gay Pride rallies are held in certain other in other cities at other times. Vancouver in August, and I believe in Ottawa in July. And here's a tear out from the Royal Bank of Canada annual report, which was sent to shareholders, including people like myself. And it's got a picture of a mob of people with banners. The RBC, that's Royal Bank of Canada, that's usually a white on blue banner with RBC. But here you've got most of the banner are stripes of orange, yellow, green, in other words, the rainbow flag. Here's the item. Innovating through inclusion. Our people are our competitive advantage. In an organization of our size, our greatest asset is the 84,000 plus employees who bring our our purpose to life. We understand the value of diversity, opportunity, and experience, and bring these together to create a great workplace. This is present corporate chatter. Our culture aligns business and technology and embraces imagination and innovation. I know you're already half asleep with this stuff. They go on to say, that's why we've stepped up our initiatives to build a more inclusive and entrepreneurial culture inside and outside the bank. This happens through training, mentorship, employee resources group, etc. Diversity and inclusion is more than just a value at RBC or Royal Bank of Canada. It's at the heart of creating equitable opportunities for all employees to reach their potential. When we challenge ourselves to create an environment where everyone can make an impact, we drive engagement, and that's how we fuel innovation and growth. Yada, 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 yada. Well, what's the reality? The reality is whites and Christians out, minorities in. That's it. You know, inclusion, you know, doesn't mean you. I had a discussion, as I mentioned on our last program, with a manager of a Toronto Dominion Bank. That's one of the competitors. And they're in the bank. There are all sorts of slogans. There are little rainbow flags. On the TV monitor screens, this is a bit late, but last Sunday was Father's Day. There was a hashtag, something about "We honor all fathers," and there the picture was two men with a baby. The overwhelming majority of fathers are in a heterosexual relationship, even if there's a separation or a divorce. The little boy has a mother and has a daddy. Not two daddies, not two mothers, a mother, a daddy and a mother. The representative couple would have to be a man and a woman. That's what a daddy is. Or, I mean, that's the relationship, a daddy with mom and the little boy or little girl. Why do they have this? This is in your face. This is a big slap in the face, knee to the testicles, of the overwhelming majority, come close to say, virtually all men who are fathers. All men who are fathers became fathers in a heterosexual relationship. Why do they highlight the freaks? Anybody can be a father. Even if you're not the biological generator of the child. I mean, that's so goes the theory. Anyway, I'd asked the bank, I protested the bank manager. I said, you know, and I tried to do it, I won't say non-confrontationally, but more as, you know, this gets on my nerves. I'm a paying customer. I'm also a shareholder. This endless in-your-face propaganda is the type of thing you see in dictatorships. I've been to dictatorships, and everywhere you go, there'll be pictures of the supreme poobah, the dictator. You know, not just in government offices, which is, you know, what you'd expect, but everywhere there'll be big banners on the streets. When I was in Haiti many years ago, and Baby Doc, that's the son of Papa Doc, was in power. There are numerous pictures of him all in public. You know, it's in your face. Well, that's what this LGBT, and I call it crap, and I'm not saying that for lack of a better word, that is the right word. This is propagandistic, mind-bending crap. Well, why is it there? You know, it's to create a reality for people. And this sets up what's sometimes called internal dissonance, where you have to be one thing, even though you know reality's the other. This particular manager even showed me what was in her drawer. And her drawer had a hideous pink, I'm sorry, a hideous lime green t-shirt, which then had the multicolor rainbow design for the LGBTQ, whatever it is, the Gay Pride Parade or Week or whatever. And she said employees were supposed to wear this. Well, when I went, nobody was wearing it on Thursday, but when I went into the bank the next day, sure enough, the three employees I encountered behind the counter all had these ridiculous t-shirts on. And I thought, you know, you look stupid. You really look stupid. Some corporate t-shirts are actually quite attractive. We have a very popular coffee and donut chain up here in Canada called Tim Hortons. There are even some Tim Hortons in some border cities like around Detroit and Buffalo, New York. And they have a corporate t-shirt that they sometimes wear to promote their summer camp. Well, it's quite attractive. It's black and red, if memory serves. This t-shirt was not attractive on anybody. So I asked the teller that I dealt with. I said, do you have to wear this? Like, I wanted to find out if they'd actually been ordered to. Or, I mean, how does it go? Ordered to or strongly suggested to? Well, she said, although it didn't sound very convincing, oh, it was my choice. I said, well, just to make the point without getting into a confrontation, I said, well, it sure doesn't match your eyes. She had brown eyes. It wouldn't match eyes of whatever shade, incidentally. And so I, you know, employees will be overwhelmingly heterosexual. There they are having to parade around, proclaiming their pride in where somebody sticks a sexual organ in the act of sex. No, I mean, do I have to run around pretending I'm proud of so-called Gay Pride Week? I would think most people don't care one way or the other. And many people, if you're a traditional Christian or I would say a person with traditional common sense, I don't want to be dragooned into this. I have no interest in Gay Pride. I have no interest in promoting Gay Pride. I think it is, as Pastor Watcott says, promoting degeneracy. It is affirming a evil, corrupt life choice or situation. And I will leave the theology of homosexuality, lesbianism, etc. to others. Is it something you're born with? Is it something you choose? Is it something you can be sort of seduced into? I think that's true to transgenderism. But anyway, I'll leave that. That's really a different topic. But when you think about it, whether it's in your genes, I don't mean that party, or whether it's to some degree a choice, why would we affirm it? Oh, it's good. It's all right. No, it's not all right. And Bill Watcombe, he's gotten into a lot of trouble for this, has talked in some of his leaflets, not just about the theological aspect that God created two sexes, man and woman, not man, woman, and half woman, or flexible, or whatever, but also, and I think, especially for perhaps non-religious people, an even more persuasive argument, and that is that if it is a lifestyle choice, and I hate the term lifestyle, but if there is some choice involved, and there's always choice as to practice, you know, I mean, there's in Catholic theology we talked about the inclination to sin, that is, you have a desire to, or a tendency, like, you know, for instance, if you're a kleptomaniac, you may have a strong urge to steal. That doesn't mean you have to steal, though. And you have to spend, you have to devote some effort to try to overcome that urge. Well, if there's a, there's certainly a considerable degree of choice as to whether you will practice this. And what Watcott has pointed out is the medical and scientific evidence that homosexual practices are bad. Anal sex, for instance, comes with considerable risks. Infection. Genital or anal warts. Like, can you imagine big warts on your anus? It's not a pretty thought. It's an even less pretty sight. Cancers, special cancers that seem to be particular to the to AIDS and to the homosexual community. So at least one of the cancers having to do with the anus. And when Bill was a nurse, he said, I ministered to people. I could change bandages, and I've seen the horrible suffering. There's also a greater incidence of more standard venereal diseases like syphilis, gonorrhea, and chlamydia. The medical evidence shows that the homosexuals and lesbians have a higher incidence of violence, more alcoholism, drug addiction, mental breakdown than the run-of-the-mill mainstream community. So, to the extent that this practice is a choice, it's a bad choice. Why would we celebrate it? And if you are a practicing homosexual or lesbian and you want to celebrate your deviant behavior by parading down a street, in some cases, it's in Toronto, and some of the participants in the so-called gay pride parade virtually buck naked, men with their, you know what, dangling down. Walcott has pictures of them from the so-called gay pride parade in 2016 in sort of a leather sadomasochistic harness and nothing on otherwise except the sandals. Now, this isn't a healthy celebration of your sexuality. This is degenerate. And it would be degenerate if heterosexuals paraded around that way. And heterosexuals don't have a heterosexual pride parade, although there is one started by a movement person in Boston this year. It's going to be interesting to see how that turns out. And in the past, we have had a heterosexual pride parades. We had one about 20 years ago organized by a fellow named Tom Bergman, a straight pride stride, he called it, to counter the gay pride parade in London, Ontario. But in general, heterosexuals don't feel called upon to flaunt themselves. I'm proudly heterosexual. I like women. I'm speaking on behalf of myself now. I like women. I like to flirt with women. I appreciate women. I don't have to parade my heterosexuality. I live it. Anyway, society is being asked not just to tolerate a gay pride parade. I do not have a problem of granting them the same right to have a parade as anybody else. But I don't have to approve of it, and I don't have to applaud it. And if I were an elected politician, I would not participate. In fact, I mentioned that if I was elected last October as mayor of the city of Hamilton, I would not march in the gay pride parade. I would not proclaim the gay pride parade. If a group of homosexuals, lesbians, and the sexually other want to get together for whatever purpose, that's their business. But I would not be affirming it. But that's what they want. And that is what's so sinister about corporate support of LGBT stuff. It not only gives them money, and the Toronto Dominion Bank where I had my little protest says they proudly fund over 100 LGBTQ events and 67 gay pride parades. Well, what do you do? And the question I posed in the bank, incidentally, I guess I'm wandering away from the other bank's statement of being very much for diversity and inclusion. I asked the manager, do you think we can expect some sort of a celebration of traditional family day, mom and dad and two kids? And she said, you know, she kind of a grim grin, and not grin, but, you know, no. And we both know that's the truth. I said, well, do you think when Christmas is getting near, that we might see a Christmas, you know, crash, or even just a banner, Merry Christmas, or maybe even a Christmas, a Christian cross. She said, no, we're not even allowed to say Merry Christmas. We are not allowed to say Merry Christmas. Now, backtrack to the prattle about inclusion. And when I say, when a company is committing itself to a policy of inclusion, it sounds good, but don't think it means you. It doesn't mean you. If you're a traditional white European Christian, or any one of the above, white but not necessarily a Christian, European but not necessarily a Christian, or all three, white, European, Christian, it doesn't include you. No, they don't want you. So Christmas, let us say, is celebrated by the overwhelming majority of Canadians. The 80% plus of Canadians who identify as Christians, almost to a man or woman, celebrate Christmas. Okay, I know there's a tiny minority that has a problem with it, but overwhelmingly Christians celebrate it. But it's also, and here's the neat thing about it, it's a secular feast. A lot of people who are not particularly religious like Christmas. And I've told this story many times, but it's my personal experience. I have wished Merry Christmas, to all sorts of non-whites. Not all of whom, incidentally, are not Christian. But some I knew were not Christian. We're Hindu, Buddhist, even Muslim. I have never had anybody react in anything other than a pleasant smile and a response, Merry Christmas to you. Even people who are, say, Buddhists, well, they don't celebrate Christmas as such. Not on a religious basis, but many of them living in a Christian secular society celebrate it as a secular holiday. Only Jews, or let's say some Jews, have a big problem with Christmas for religious reasons, and I'll get to that when we get closer to Christmas. We're at the summer solstice. Well, actually, we had the summer solstice, the longest day of the year, yesterday. So the overwhelming majority of people who celebrate Christmas, either on a secular basis or a religious basis, are excluded by the bank's policy of diversity and inclusion. You see, the way it works is suppress majority culture and inflate, coddle, financially support freakish, tiny minority interests like the LGBTQ crowd, who are, despite what you might see in cities like Toronto, they are about 1% of the population. Why? I had a discussion with another person today, but a person with an active interest in politics. Why do corporations do this? Well, superficially. Why do they do it? Well, some of us think that the many corporate leaders are just plain stupid. They're conformists. Their advisors tell them that this is a good thing to do. That makes me fearful. For the future of their business. I mean, if they are that manipulable. That's one explanation. A parallel explanation is they think it's good for business. It will impress liberal minded opinion. Well, it may indeed impress liberal-minded opinion, but that's not the only opinion there is. And that's the thing. Another thought about promoting the LGBTQ agenda is it will help capture that market. But my argument on that is they're all doing this, so that doesn't give anybody an advantage. The LGBTQ market is perhaps 1%. Now, is that really something that businesses have to quarrel over? You know, we've got to be in there like junkyard rats to get this portion of the business, or we'll go out of business. Well, no, I mean, that's just not the reality. So why? And I believe that at the top of many of these corporations are profoundly subversive and corrupt people who've either been sold on this cultural Marxist nation-changing agenda, or in which case they're stupid, and that doesn't bode well for business, or they believe this stuff, and they are trying to manipulate, and that's what they're doing. They are trying to create a reality. And the reality they're trying to create means the suppression of the reality and culture of the majority of people. For instance, on the issue of Christmas, you've got to be silent, or at least in public, in dealing with the public. Why could an employee not say Merry Christmas? And if you say, well, it might offend a few people, well, yes, well, I'll tell you, probably more than a few people are offended by the LGBTQ propaganda. I've said this to other business people as well, even if I approved of the gay pride parade, do I really want rainbow banners, propaganda on the TV screen while I wait in line to see a teller? I would far more appreciate, well, sometimes they give us, you know, a 7-day weather forecast. So that's useful. Or sometimes they promote one or another of the bank products. Well, okay, that's informational and useful. I don't need cutesy slogans celebrating Father's Day and having that illustrated by two dudes and a baby. This is a long way back from something sent to me by Steve Bergen. LGBTQ Pride, brought to you by our Democrats, who we call Satan's disciples. Let's view a couple of examples of the sick, perverse lifestyle and the benefits it has on those abused and influenced by it. And that is, of course, a concern I have, that feeble-minded people or lost people may be persuaded to try things that they wouldn't otherwise try because of all this propaganda. You know, I mean, we're influenced by our environment. If we're getting these, being bombarded by these constant messages that it's a okay lifestyle, then there may be some weak-minded people who will try this and try, becoming lesbian or homosexual or whatever. And it's not a good thing. Back to Steve's article here. All of this mass sickness being paraded around as love and tolerance suggests that modern society has all but reached its end. When innocent children have no choice but to be subjected to the worst kinds of LGBTQ indoctrination and to the child-molesting pedophiles behind it, you know that the fire and brimstone is about to come raining down with a vengeance. Now, even if you are not a Christian, or even if you don't believe that the God will actively intervene with some horrific tribulation. I believe the tribulation will come because of internal corruption. In fact, she's a lesbian, but she actually has a fair number of good ideas. Her name has temporarily skipped my mind, but anyway. She was actually an anthropologist, and she has said that her study of the decline of civilizations is that you are at the very end when transgenderism is actively encouraged or tolerated and practiced. And I think there's a very good reason for that, for that observation. I mean, her observation would appear to be true. Why? Well, if you can't even get sex right, you know, human sexuality is a man and a woman. That's what's healthy. That's what leads to the formation of families. That's what occurs for the overwhelming majority of people. Once there is encouraged confusion about this, then the very basics of human existence are up for grabs. Will a society that is that lost be able to organize, to pull itself together against an external threat? Probably not. Will it be able to recognize an external threat? Probably not, because it is so infected with cultural relativism. You know, anything goes. Well, and that's the perverse part. Anything doesn't go. You're not encouraged to be a traditional Christian. You're not encouraged to be proud of being white. White pride parade, that's a hate pride parade. I don't think you would get a politician, maybe I shouldn't say totally generalize, there would be very few politicians who would have the conviction and the courage to march in a white pride parade. That's a hate parade. Oh, well, would it be hate to celebrate our race and our accomplishments? But it's okay to celebrate where you stick your penis in the act of sex. I know LGBTQ is perhaps a little bit more complicated than that, but come on. Celebrating the tremendous achievements of the European people, to me, is far healthier than one of these sex parties. Anyway, back to Steve Bergen's commentary. All this mass sickness, even the mentally disabled are being targeted by the LGBTQ perverts for adoption into the rainbow lifestyle, the most innocent among us being the prey of Satan's rainbow army. This is what demonic possession looks like, wrote Hal Turner, radio show commentator, about this latest heinous incident involving LGBT violence against innocent youth. These deranged lesbians obviously didn't want a little boy, just like, oh, well, the woman I'm trying to think of is Camille Paglia. She is a lesbian, but she is a pretty solid anthropologist. Anyway, these deranged lesbians obviously didn't want a little boy, just like Dr. Ann Jorgulis, medical doctor of Dr. Ann Pediatrics in Copel, Texas, doesn't want a boy. These anti-male sentiments being a hallmark of the cult of the LGBTQP and Democrats' belief of the male toxicity of society, that males are toxic. You know, the one half of the human race, part of the yin-yang of a healthy society, is toxic. Well, if you hold that belief, then, you know, you are truly sick. Well, here's the story. Ghastly new details emerge about a lesbian couple who forced gender reassignment surgery on a 9-year-old boy. Here's these two beefy lesbians. And the story is the victim had his penis torn off and replaced with a fake female sex organ before being beheaded. Oh my God. Ghastly new details have emerged about the tragic case of the Brazilian boy who was subjected to forced gender reassignment surgery. That's mutilation. By a lesbian couple who later beheaded him. As we previously reported, 9-year-old Juan Mecon was murdered by his mother, Rosana da Silva Candido, and her partner, Casila Damasceno Passau, on May 31st. Mecon had been suffering for a year as a result of a botched gender reassignment operation performed by the pair with no medical supervision after his mother decided he wanted to become a girl. His mother decided he wanted to become a girl. Following the arrest of the couple, macabre new details about exactly what they did to the poor little victim have emerged. Candido and Passau are accused of ripping off the boy's penis before allegedly sewing a fake female sex organ onto the body because he wanted to be a girl before scraping the boy's skin off his face. I mean, this is this is demonic. And Hal Turner has it exactly right. Demonic. Ripping the boy's penis off. Not even cutting it off, but ripping it off. After Candido stabbed her son a dozen times, the pair tried to gouge out his eyes with a knife. The boy was eventually beheaded by Candido because he reminded her of her father who allegedly had abused her. You know, a 9-year-old boy reminds her of a father. Well, get over it, fatso. The little boy has a right to life too, you know. Candido also said she felt hatred and no love for the boy because he was a burden and a hindrance to her lesbian relationship. Well, tough. She had him. The mother ran away with the boy 5 years ago after his father lost custody and attempted to impose her warped ideology on him using the most brutal methods imaginable. After failing to burn the boy's body at a barbecue, the pair hastily stuffed his remains into a suitcase and dumped them into a sewer. She killed her son, quartered, decapitated, and plucked the skin and tried to get rid of the body. It was a very terrible case, Police Chief Guilherme Melo told O Tempo. This is a story actually from Brazil. And Steve Bergen asks, is there anything more evil than LGBTQ pride? Reports explained that prior to being murdered, Ruan had been sexually mutilated by the two lesbians who attempted to perform an at-home gender reassignment surgery on the poor child against his will. Brazil's Child Protective Services revealed that Ruan had a kind of sex change surgery. After removing the penis, the group went on to say about the lesbians, they sewed the mutilated region and improvised a version of a female genital organ, making a cut in the groin. I mean, this kid was mutilated. These deranged lesbians obviously didn't want a little boy, just like Anne Gorgulis, medical doctor Anne Pediatrics in Copel, Texas, doesn't want a boy. These anti-male sentiments being the hallmark of the cult of the LGBTQ people. All of this mass sickness being paraded around as love and tolerance suggests that modern society has reached its end. Even the mentally this is what demonic possession looks like. It's also less conspicuous, affecting both liberal and conservative thought, and just about any anti-God, anti-Christ motivations. The biblical God's coming wrath is an unimaginable terror. And you know, even if you don't believe that on a divine intervention, I think it's a warning that a society that tolerates this, or I should say, elevates this, is probably not healthy enough to survive. It's important to remember that this is hardly an isolated incident of LGBTQ violence against innocent children. Just last year, another lesbian couple committed murder-suicide against themselves and their 6 children by driving the family vehicle off a California cliff into the Pacific Ocean. Actually, if the lesbian couple had just offed themselves, that might have been all right. But to kill the children, appalling. Allowing children to be adopted by lesbians and homosexuals is child abuse, wrote one commentator at sfist.com about this truly horrific incident. If a child is going to reach their full potential, it will happen being raised by their own mother and father. I know there are exceptions, but they do not make the rule. When you bypass God in your social policy, you're asking for trouble. Yes, yeah, I believe that. YouTube comedian Filthy Frank was once given a platform for his comedy on Vox, yet he was not held to the same standard as conservative comics who are now being accused of hate speech for comments that are not even close to as controversial as Filthy Frank's. Paul Joseph Watson exposes the hypocrisy of the failing MSM, or mainstream media. And when I think when we deal with companies that talk about so-called diversity and are actually pushing not the toleration of other cultures and practices, which may or may not be iffy, but inclusion means you, the majority, are excluded. If you're white, you're Christian, you're heterosexual, you are not valued. The freaks are valued. Well, this is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. I'm going to return to a singer I've been playing a bit lately, Hank Williams Jr. Hank, of course, the now famous son of his even more famous father, Hank Williams Sr. Hank Williams Jr. started off as a child, actually, because his father died quite young, singing his father's songs to adoring audiences. But as he grew up, he wanted to strike out in his own direction. While honoring his father, he wanted to, you know, make his own music, and he developed his own form of country rock, and created a fair number of songs. One of them sort of semi-autobiographical, and this one, "All My Rowdy Friends Have Settled Down," talks about real life people, including people like Waylon Jennings and Johnny Cash, and so on. "All My Rowdy Friends Have Settled Down." No, wrong. There we are. "All My Rowdy Friends Have Settled Down." Thank you.
days that used to be. My broken heart cries out for you. Oh, if I can't have you here, I can't go on, my dear. So I don't care if tomorrow never comes. If tomorrow never comes, and
But there are some things that bring tears to my eyes. Some old movies they've shown, some old people all alone. And every time I hear that song, every time
Don, tell us how it really was when you was working with Daddy.
Well, in 1950, I took a little nip along with Mr. Williams on the way to Mississippi. We were stacked 8 deep in a Packard limousine when I met this promoter in the town of New Orleans.
Well, a man told Daddy he had what it took, and he liked the way it sang, and he liked the way it shook.
He said pretty soon he'd make us all rich, and we started believing that fat son of a bitch.
Now, Daddy told a man, if you want to make some dough, take a little money and book me on a show.
Jr. This is Paul Prom. You're on the fighting side of me. Back with you again tomorrow, same time, midnight Eastern time. The show is repeated at 8 in the morning, 4 in the afternoon. All balls are Eastern Standard Time. And I sign off tonight as I always do with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf, forever.
In days of yore, from Britain's shore, Wolfe the dauntless hero came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our boast, our pride, and joined in love together, the thistle, shamrock, rose, and wine, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. At Queenston Heights and Lundy's Lane, our brave fathers side by side for freedom, homes and loved ones dear, firmly stood and nobly died. And those dear rights which